Good morning. Can I share a little bit with you guys on something that was in my heart about God being our provider? So let's look in Luke chapter 5. It's the first passage here. This is the testimony of when Peter was out fishing and Jesus was in the boat with him, teaching the multitudes. Let's look at verse 3. It says, Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way in the land, and he sat down and began teaching the multitudes. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out in deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing, but at your bidding, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. They signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also James and John and the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on you'll be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him. I was thinking about this passage not too long ago because it's one of the first earlier miracles that Jesus did with the disciples. And I believe there was a reason for that he revealed his power in this way, because it was something that Jesus wanted to teach his disciples, that he would provide for them. And I think that he wants us to learn that same thing too. And we're going to look later in Matthew 6 about the promise Jesus gave us to seek first his kingdom. And as I was thinking about this, I realized that, you know, when Peter was fishing and his livelihood depended on providing for his family, the Lord had to teach him, "If you follow me, I'll take care of all your concerns, all your burdens." And as, you know, when I looked at this before, I thought, wow, it's a miracle. He just left everything and followed him. How would he do that? You know, that's quite something to drop everything and follow Jesus. But I think he had a revelation that following Jesus, I don't have to worry because I just saw him catch a huge quantity of fish. Why should I be afraid if I let down my nets and follow Jesus? He's going to take care of all my needs. And this was something what we can take from, because another thing that I want to point out here is it says that he had nothing. The nets are empty. He worked all night. And it says that he worked hard, he toiled. That word means like grief, exhaustion. You know, as a parent now, I just think about raising a family and all the exhaustion and sometimes the stress and the burden, and we can get frustrated, we can feel unsatisfied for, you know, you work hard, you want to accomplish something, you want to see the results, and it doesn't happen. And then all of a sudden you're just like, "Oh, I can't do it." And you got to go to Jesus, you got to go to the Lord for help. And I believe that that's a revelation for us, that he has the answer. He's a provider. He can give us our daily needs. He can give us the strength that we need when we're feeling frustrated, unsatisfied, and empty, like empty inside, like there's no results. And at the same time, when Peter saw that Jesus was a provider, he also saw that he was a sinful man. And I believe that he saw that because he didn't have that kind of trust, that kind of faith that God could, that Jesus could do what he just did. And he saw himself as an unbelieving man at that point, knowing that God was going to take care of him and he could let go of his nets, he could follow him. He had a greater plan. So let's look at Matthew 6, because I think this correlates to that same promise that Jesus gave us. When we become, you know, anxious and worried about what are we going to do, how are we going to get through some of the struggles or pressures we face in life. Matthew 6, 25, we'll just start there. Jesus said, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor for your body what you shall put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow and neither do they reap. They don't gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single cubit to his life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil, they don't spin. And I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow, and thrown into the furnace, it says, will he not much more do so for you, O man of little faith? Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble as of its own. So we know that when we put him first, he will provide our needs. In the same way when Peter got that revelation, I believe he seized it. If I seek the Lord, I can trust him to provide my needs. I can go start catching men. I don't have to worry about catching the fish. And one of the things that I took from this as well is when we get anxious, you know, there's times in life we get anxious, we get worried about stuff. It's immediately a sign to us we need to trust the Lord. We're not relying on him. We're not trusting him. And that's why the scripture gives us the cure here. I have a title in the Bible that says cure for anxiety. And we're supposed to look at the birds, right? Isn't that what it says? It says we need to look to the creation. Like these birds, they're not toiling. It says they don't sow. They're not putting in barns. They're not storing up. You know, it's good to save. It's good to store, but they don't get anxious. The birds aren't getting worried about how they're going to get through the winter. They trust their Heavenly Father that when they go out into the grass, they're going to find something that day. And I saw that picture of that when it uses the word toil, like the birds aren't toiling. You know, that was Peter in the boat. He was toiling. He was grieving and found himself empty. So it's a good picture for us to remember how God cares for the birds. And he says our souls, our lives are much more valuable than those animals that he made. So he wants us to be at rest in our souls. So we see an example of Peter. And I want to look at another example of Elijah and the widow. You may know the story there in 1 Kings 17. I'm not going to read all of it, but just kind of summarize. This is another passage that came to mind. This is when there was a drought, a famine in the land. So another way that God shows us as a provider is when we're in distress or when we're going through difficulties. In this case, it was a famine. God was faithful to his servant Elijah because he told him to go to the brook where the Lord would provide for him. And it says, even the ravens in verse 6 brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. So supernaturally, God made a way, and he does that for us. I can think of different things in my life or in our lives as family where God showed up just in little ways to show us how he was providing for us. We were walking in our back cul-de-sac one time, and some people showed up. They had to be from Teen Challenge, and they said, hey, do you need some food? And at that time, Rachel was pregnant with Jaden, I believe, and Silas was around. She was so tied up with so many things that she couldn't get out and do as much, and I was just kind of like praying and it's like, Lord, need help and just day-to-day things. And all of a sudden, these people showed up and said, do you guys eat? And they started actually delivering food to us, like some groceries for a couple weeks. And I was like, I started thinking, like, God, this is you showing your faithfulness. Like, I'm going to take care of you, even when your life is a little bit stressed and burdened and you can't do your day-to-day things. Little things like that encouraged me. So here, God showed Elijah, I'll take care of you. He had birds feeding him. And then it happened that the brook dried up, and God spoke to him and said in verse 9, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. So sometimes God allows the circumstances to change. Maybe we get dependent on something to where our provisions come from, and then all of a sudden it dries up, and God says, okay, I want you to do this, but trust me. So Elijah went to this widow, and this was not just a test for Elijah, but actually was a test for this widow who didn't have a husband, had a child, and was on her last meal. And it says here, let's read end of verse 10. It says, please get me a little, Elijah said to her, get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. In verse 11, as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl, a little oil in a jar. And behold, I'm gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. That was her last meal. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Again, we heard that same thing. Don't fear, don't worry, don't be anxious. Do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first. That's the key word there. Make something for me first. Can you imagine someone coming to you and saying, make something for me so I can eat. And afterward, you can have something to eat for you and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So she went, and she did according to the word of Elijah, and he ate, and her household ate for many days. It says the bowl of flour was not exhausted, and the jar of oil never was empty until the word which Elijah spoke. So during that whole time, through the famine, she had made that sacrifice to give her, so to speak, last meal, and God provided for her completely through that whole entire famine. It was a miracle. It was a powerful miracle that God was a provider for first in Elijah and also for that widow. A verse that kind of backs that up is in Luke chapter 6. It has a nice tie into that passage. It's Luke 6:38. It says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will be poured into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So what a test that she had to, when you're in that situation and you have a need or you're anxious about your, daily needs or whatever it is, if you have to make a sacrifice or give or think about someone else, that's a test. It's a test of faith. But it says that if we give to others first, God will return a full measure. He'll pour it into our lap, just like he did for that widow. And it says, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. As I was thinking about that, I thought, what was the measure of that meal to that widow? What would you say is the value for her, that last meal? It was her life, right? It was another day to live. For us, one meal might not be just a day to live, but for her, it was a day of one more day to live. So she sacrificed that, in a sense, to give it away first. And so God returned to her livelihood. He returned to her that he would take care of her through the whole famine, because the value, the weight of what she surrendered was that important. It wasn't an easy thing, and God says, okay, because you did that, I'm going to provide for you until this famine ends. So I thought that this verse was summed that up really clearly. I was encouraged by it. And another thing that I was thinking of was same principle in Philippians 4:19. Paul talks about just the church. I'll just briefly share that verse. It says, may God supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So the church here had sent a gift to Paul when Paul had a need. Many churches weren't able or hadn't done that, but this Philippian church had given something to Paul, and Paul was encouraged by the fruit of what they had done and how, see, God uses people. God used the church to provide for Paul, and he trusted God for that. He had the faith. And this church was sharing out of their need. And then Paul said to them, God shall supply all your needs. I don't know if it says abundantly in some versions, but according to the riches. So there we see the riches of in glory in Christ Jesus. So we have a promise that when we think of others, share of others, even in our needs, God will abundantly supply for us. And also want to look here, and one of the examples I thought of is Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. There's another verse that came to mind. It talks about God being our helper. It says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself said, I will never leave or I'll never desert you nor forsake you, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? And what spoke to me about this passage is that God is sovereign. When we think about the last verse, what shall man do to me? It's kind of like a rhetorical question, like what can man do? If God is in control, nothing can happen. God, first of all, we can be content with what we have in every circumstance. And I have a promise that God is not going to forsake us, just like we saw with the widow, how he said, I'm going to take care of you, Peter. I can provide all your needs. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of what circumstances, what man can do to you. God's in control. So we understand the sovereignty of God. And an example of that, again, is Job. Job had a family. He was blessed. He had possessions. He had everything around him. And Satan said to God, just take that hedge down that you've put around him, and surely he will curse you. And you've blessed him all this, and he's serving you only because of what you've given to him. And of course, God allowed that test to come, and he took down the hedge, and Satan was allowed to take away everything. And at the end of it, Job said, you know what? Naked I came, and naked I'm going. God gives and takes away. I'm going to bless the Lord. And we can have that same assurance, like nothing can happen unless God takes that hedge away from us, and he's in complete control of every circumstance in our life. But sometimes we need reminders, so I just wanted to finish in Matthew 14 about the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. There's two examples here. So it's interesting that two times Jesus performed miracles where he fed the multitudes, and similar things happened with the disciples. He was in a desolate place. It had been 3 days, I believe, and time was passing. Verse 15, let's read there. When it was evening, the disciples came to him, saying, the place is desolate, and the time has already passed. Send the multitudes away, so they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said to them, bring them to me. And he ordered the multitudes to recline the grass. So he gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave, and they all ate and were satisfied. And what spoke to me here was, first of all, Jesus wanted his disciples to be the providers. He wanted them to go and contribute to the need. But then when they looked at the situation, when they looked at this place, they said, this is a desolate place. There's nothing here. Like, how are we going to do this? So immediately, they had no solution. They had no faith to trust God in that circumstance where there was a need. And then Jesus said, what do you have? Or they said, hey, look, all we have is, we only have like a few loaves. And sometimes we're like that, right? We say, well, I don't have anything. All I have is this. Like, I just, you know, that's kind of like, it can be like the discontentment or just like, it's not enough. We don't have the capability. But it didn't stop Jesus. He said, just bring it to me. And it was a picture to me of, we need to remember those little things that we have and then take them to God or remind ourselves of how he's blessed us with those things and be thankful and say, okay, Lord, you know, this is all I have or this is what I have. You have been a provider, and now I see a great need. I don't know how I'm going to solve this problem, but I'm going to take it to Jesus. And he broke those loaves and he gave thanks, and then there was enough. It was a miracle that happened. And God likes to perform miracles. He likes to show himself powerful to us because there's a testimony that we can trust our Heavenly Father for whatever need that we have, whether it's a natural need or a spiritual need. But it wasn't long after that the same circumstance happened again in Matthew 15:33. And let's just look at this verse here. Well, 32, Jesus called the disciples and said, I have compassion on the multitudes because they have remained with me 3 days with nothing to eat. 33, the disciples said to him, where would we get so many loaves? How are we going to get these loaves to in a desolate place to satisfy such a great multitude? And Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? They said, 7. He asked them the same question. How many loaves do you have? What do you have? Like, how are we going to feed this multitude? It's interesting. I think this is here because we're probably like that too. We forget how God has provided for us. We forget what he has done. And he has to remind us, hey, look what I've done for you. Look, what do you have? Bring it to me again. And they brought it to him, and he again performed another miracle. So I think the lessons we can take from that, that I've been thinking about, is trust God in those circumstances when you don't see a solution. Be thankful for what you have. Take the little things that God has and surrender it to him. And look at Jesus as an example. And remember his promise from Matthew 6 that if you seek first his kingdom, if you come to him first, then he will abundantly supply your needs. He'll pour into your lap. So just as a recap, so God, as a provider, he revealed that early on in Peter and the disciples' life. It was kind of foundational, I think, for them to trust God for those things. And that God is a helper in times of distress. So when we're in distress, just like we saw with the widow and and with Elijah, he provided in that very stressful type time. And God is in control. We can find contentment and rest in every situation. Just like with Job, he was in control, even though the circumstances didn't look like that. And that God cares for us, that's the other thing I missed, was Jesus is aware of our needs. He saw the multitudes. He was the first one to say, I have compassion on them. I see that they're needy. They've been with me, but he's aware of our needs and he cares for us. And sometimes he'll even remind us if he needs to show us his power or show us in little ways how he's our provider. And lastly was to be thankful for what he has already provided us. And then to take out of thanksgiving to bring our requests to the Lord in faith, like it says in Philippians, out of prayer and thanksgiving, offer your petitions to Jesus so that we can see the fruit of that, you know, as God provides. And often he does that through the body. You know, he might choose you to be the person. We've had different opportunities even lately just to share a meal with someone who's had a baby or whatever. We've been blessed so many times, and you know, we know how valuable that is when you're tired and you just can't do it on your own, and then God sends someone and it's a blessing. Just one last testimony was we had our bassinet that we'd gotten on Marketplace. We were going to sell it, and we had two bites on it, and it wasn't selling, and they kind of dropped the ball, and I was kind of like, what's going on? You know, we wanted to get rid of this thing, get it out of our house, and then I think Rachel said, well, maybe there's a reason that it's not selling, and I was like, yeah, it's true. We need to think, you know, heavenly-minded here. And then just this week, our neighbors right across the street had an emergency C-section, and the bassinet that we have is, like, specifically designed for moms with C-sections. And all of a sudden, Rachel's like, do you want our bassinet? We can let you borrow it. They're like, oh, that'd be awesome. So we delivered it over to them. They were so thankful. And I told them, like, they're Christians. We know these people. We've met with them before. And I said, you know, like, we were talking about this, how maybe there's a reason that we didn't sell this bassinet. And sure enough, God used that opportunity for us to give something to them. And they were really thankful. And they, you know, when Rachel was pregnant and with Jaden, they were bringing us food, and, you know, they blessed us in return. So I was just really encouraged to see, you know, those opportunities that God provides for us to share with other people and bless others as we have been blessed, and to be thankful.